This morning, we'll hear a familiar passage of scripture from the Gospel of Mark. We normally are asked to listen to its reading from the perspective of Jesus' disciples who are sent out to minister and practice the ministry that Jesus had modeled for them. But this morning, I ask you, as you hear this reading, that you listen not for what the disciples are to do, but rather what Jesus states is the expectation of those the disciples are ministering to. Listen to these words from Mark 6, 7 through 12. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. And this is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask you today to open our hearts and our minds to what you have us to hear. Help us to understand your words for us and help us not only to listen, but internalize what you would have us do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In our scripture this morning from the Gospel of Mark, we hear Jesus instructing his disciples as he begins to send them out to replicate the ministry he has been doing himself. Here Jesus is giving them on-the-job training, an internship, if you will. They are instructed first to go out in pairs so that they have the encouragement and support of one another. And secondly, they are to take nothing with them, but rather expect the hospitality of the people to whom they will minister. Jesus is expecting that the people to whom the disciples minister will be hospitable to these strange men as they come into their homes. Now, I don't know about you, but the command Jesus gives the disciples to expect hospitality from total strangers would be hard for me to follow. I can agree with the going out in pairs. I'm a collaborative person by nature, one who works well with others. So the support of a fellow sojourner or co-minister would be right up my alley. But the hard part would be going out without anything and expecting to be given generosity from others. I'm not comfortable going out without a plan. I carry a detailed list with me, even to the grocery store. I have an extra set of clothes in my car. I hide some money in the console of my car just in case I forget my purse. And I'll admit it, that I'm not good at relying on the hospitality of others or even expecting them to be hospitable to me. And yet, there it is, exactly what Jesus expects of his disciples and in turn of all of us. Jesus expects us to be interdependent, to depend upon God and one another even for the smallest things like food and a place to stay. They were not to take anything with them. No food, no money, no extra clothes. If Jesus asked this of me, I don't know if I could comply. I agree with the idea of walking by faith and not by sight. But don't we also need to be somewhat prepared, somewhat self-reliant? After all, we're Americans. Don't we learn early on to take care of ourselves, to work hard, to store up, to be prepared? So then why would I choose to deliver a sermon on the topic of hospitality and interdependence this week as we celebrate Independence Day? Well, in some ways, the 4th of July is more than any other an epitome of hospitality and interdependence. It's the day that people throw open their doors and gather as community, grill out in the backyards, eat potato salad, watch parades, enjoy some fireworks, celebrate traditions like capping off the night with an ice cream cone at either Gannon's or Snowtop. On the 4th, our nation comes together to collectively slow down and soak in the quintessential blessings of living in this great country. It's a day of togetherness, a day of celebration, a day of leisure and ease. On this day, we celebrate the birth of our great nation. We are reminded of the hospitality of our neighbors. Hospitality, we truly need nothing, which means we truly need nothing for the journey. The 4th of July has always reminded me in some ways of a Norman Rockwell painting where people are immortalized in unity as they celebrate the blessings of living in this great country. But this 4th of July felt a little bit different to me. Maybe this different feel was because of the mandate to continue social distancing. We didn't go to a picnic at our friend's house or venture out to watch fireworks or even enjoy a small raspberry vanilla twist and a sugar cone at Snowtop, which is my personal favorite. Our tradition of sitting on the sidewalk watching local marching bands and fire trucks go by while waving an American flag was replaced with a quiet day at home. This year's Independence Day felt sad. It didn't include celebrations of our country's birth. This year didn't include hospitality and fellowship with others. And upon further reflection, I realized that while my sadness was in part due to the limitations instituted by the need to social distance, I was also saddened by the current culture in our great nation. Our nation seems more divided and more unsettled than ever. Usually when I reflect on our country, I'm encouraged by our resilience and our unity. When I think back over the momentous events that took place to avail America its freedom on July 4th, 1776, I stand a little prouder. But this year, I can't help but focus in on the lack in our country, the lack of justice or equality, respect, truth, just to name a few. It was hard to be reminded of how blessed we are as a free people when we seem so at odds, where civility isn't even part of the equation. And so I wonder, is there still an abiding love of country? Is there still an appreciation for all that we share as Americans? Do we still value the freedoms we have? Are we still aware that we share a fundamental unity even in the midst of such great diversity? Are we able to be hospitable to one another when it seems that we are so deeply divided? Maybe it's time for our wake-up call in this country. Maybe we need to better understand that the independence from tyranny that birthed this great nation was not meant to be emulated by its citizens in living independently from one another. Just as Jesus reminds his disciples to expect hospitality from others, we too need to be reminded that we have to show and accept hospitality from one another. Not just because we can do far better things together, but also that it is through the spirit of hospitality and interdependence that we reflect the glorious attributes of God. Our deep-seated spirit of independence in this country has at times created problems, not just for our nation, but for individual citizens. You see, God created us to be interdependent, not just independent. It was our forefathers who wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, which determined the kind of nation and people we would become, an independent government with many guaranteed freedoms. Their American experiment was a completely new idea, where people were to live their lives in a country with freedom and justice for all. But I wonder if our founding fathers could have ever dreamed we would be where we are today, politically divided, racially charged, disrespectful towards authority, not looking to God. Would they believe that their experiment with democracy had failed? As I spent time this week working on this message, I actually came away with the thought that we can make America great again, but maybe not the way politicians prescribe. Rather, than wallowing in the mantra of what's wrong or worse, yet retreating away into the comfort of apathy, I believe that there's no better time than now for all of us to be challenged to remember what makes America great, which is genuine hospitality and interdependence. What we need right now is less anger and more thoughtful reflection. We need less shouting and more listening. And I believe that the time is prime for followers of Christ to lead by example as we model what it means to be compassionate and caring towards each other, even when we don't see eye to eye on all social and political issues. Even when we disagree, and we will because disagreement is an inevitable part of democracy, we can disagree without degrading one another. We're being called to shape the future of our country by striving for civility in public discourse and debate. Maybe it's time for us to revisit the document that solidified our country's independence from England. If you've ever read the Declaration of Independence, you see a document that better than any other summarizes the moral vision of our founding fathers. The words of this document were revolutionary when written and still are today. The values and the ideals of which it speaks are deep-seated in faith. Our founding fathers believed that God, who is the God of creation, empowers all people, making them all equal in his sight. At the very heart of the Declaration of Independence is its agreeable and most quoted passage is heard these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And there is no denying that that passage relates directly to Genesis 1:25, in which Scripture tells us that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. All people are created in the image of God. All people are equally deserving of dignity and respect. The inherent value of all human beings comes from God, not from government. Therefore, we are to treat each other with dignity and respect, showing love and hospitality because that is how God treats us. We as Americans are big on independence, and there's nothing wicked about that. Yet God created us for more than independence. He created us for interdependence. We need to stop overemphasizing our rights for independence and reflect more on a responsibility towards one another. We need to hold up the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which are inalienable rights for all people. They cannot be diminished, dismissed, or assigned to only certain ones of us. These rights, which are guaranteed to all people, must also be balanced with responsibility to God and one another. And this is where the vision of our founding fathers has gone off the rails. Independence was never meant to be egocentric or exclusionary. The independence we value as a great nation was always meant to be part of something bigger, something better than we could have on our own. Our forefathers fought for our independence from an oppressive government power so that we as a country could be self-reliant while still interdependent upon one another. As soon as we lose sight of the fact that we were created to need one another, we lose sight of what it means to be created in the image of God for relationship with Him and one another. True freedom means living authentic lives where we are treated and treat others with dignity and honor because each of us is God's image bearers. We are not to live separate in our own little bubble to push away all that is going on around us. The natural inclination, our tendency might be to detach, to be uninvolved, to ride out the waves of difficulty in a posture of disengagement. At the other end of the spectrum, others are inclined to arm themselves, to meet difficulty with violence. But neither of these two extremes is a pattern of reaction or behavior that brings glory to God or seeks hospitality and interdependence. Hospitality and interdependence instead demand active involvement in the world. Being human fundamentally means being part of something bigger than ourselves. We are to be involved. We are to be committed to the society in which we live, for this is where we are able to do God's work. And being a follower of Christ compounds our responsibility to make this a better society. Rather than believing our faith requires us to withdraw from society's ills and retreat into our own little circles of like-minded people, Christ calls us into the deep. As Christ followers, we are to emulate him and lead by example. We are to walk with others and allow others to walk with us in interdependence and love. God never intended for us to walk through life alone. Never. And when we hold so tight to our independence, we lose out. We are not learning cooperation, love, or the plight of another. We cannot give or receive support. Our beliefs, our behaviors are supposed to be a challenge to the status quo. We are to be a conduit to real change that makes an appeal to the moral side of humanity. We are to manifest compassion, caring, concern for the oppressed and the downtrodden. So why do we allow things to continue that cause stress and division within our country? Why do we allow mockery, division, scorn, and contempt to dominate our public discourse? Why do we ourselves act differently? Why do we not strive to interact with others in a way that is a reflection of God's glory? We must remember that freedom is not the same as independence. True freedom means being connected. Freedom is not the right to do our own thing on our own terms, regardless of others. Soren Kierkegaard wrote, "To be truly free, there must be weight, just as the clock's works needs a heavy weight in order to run properly, and the ship needs ballast. And because of that weight has vanished, the clock cannot run, the ship steers wildly, and for this reason, human life has become a whirlpool." Interdependence, not independence, is God's pattern for life. With it comes the weight of caring for our fellow human beings. Without caring one another for one another, we go off course into places of hate and injustice. And when we fail to be connected to one another, we not only become alienated from God and others, but disconnect from our deepest and truest selves. Sadly, too many of us want to stay free and easy. We don't want to commit to one another or anything. We want our lives to be unencumbered, to keep our options open. And inadvertently, however, this type of freedom only leads us to being more imprisoned behind the bars of selfishness, suspicion, and all kinds of compulsive, self-destructive behavior that leaves us isolated and afraid. Our so-called American independence has not led us to become masters of ourselves, but rather masters of overactivity, overconsumption, commitment to nothing other than making money and spending it on ourselves. And if we really want to celebrate our freedoms, we need to take a hard look at what freedom really means. To be bound together in love, to be freed for ourselves and become a person who is truly and deeply hospitable. This is the only freedom worth living and dying for. Will you take a moment to pray with me? Gracious God, we come before you as people who have heard the words independence over and over again. And while our country is blessed by you to be a country of freedom, we ask you to help us to understand that interdependence is really what you're asking us for. You seek us to be there for each other, to be kind to each other, to be hospitable to each other, to carry each other when we can't do it on our own. So Lord, today we ask you to remind us on this Independence Day weekend to help us to be hospitable and interdependent as you have called us to be while we reflect your image to the world. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.